This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
What up, my little chickadees? I don't know. I don't know why I just called y'all chickadees. I don't know where that came from. You're not chickadees. You're my queer fam squad. That's what I got to get used to calling you, my queer fam squad. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast. It's Jamie, your host, in your ears. I am here with another bonus episode, y'all. I know that I said yesterday that yesterday was my last bonus episode getting ready for season 11 that drops on Monday, 2/6. But I was wrong. As you might have noticed, I was in a kind of a funk yesterday and my brain was not working right. I have one more and it's today and it's coming up right now. And it's bomb. It's a great episode. I love these two. But if you have been listening or if you haven't been listening, what I've been doing the past 2 weeks is re-releasing archived episodes from our past seasons of the guests who are going to come in and help me out in season 11. It is so exciting and bomb. So before I get into who the guests are for today's bonus episode, they're so funny. They're like my BFFs, but they're not my BFFs, but I'll get into that later. Before I get into that, I want to just get some business out of the way. If you haven't followed us on the socials, you're going to find us at the Queer Family Podcast all across the socials. We also have a new web. I say we. I'm still saying we, even though it's just me and Helen and Beulah who don't even freaking exist. But we also have a new updated website at thequeerfamilypodcast.com. But you can still type in ovariestalk.com and it's going to direct you right to the new one because my amazing and beautiful brand strategist, Kita Zuleta, has helped me redirect. She figured it all out for me. She did that for me. And now everything goes there. And it's beautiful. And on that website is a quote by the one and only, also my new BFF, Rosie freaking O'Donnell. She gave me a quote for why this podcast is important. And let me tell you, There's nothing that makes me want to cry more. Well, that's not true, because I'm going to read something else to you that makes you want to cry today, in a good way. But yeah, Rosie fucking O'Donnell gave us a quote. If you haven't seen it, go to the website, read the quote. It's a really long quote because she had a lot to say. And it's also up on social media because obviously I have to blast it everywhere, because Rosie O'Donnell, my BFF, is like pulling through for me, which makes me feel like $1 million. And also pulling through for Helen and Beulah, of course. Okay, I have to read this to you. A listener reached out. Aiden emailed me. And I have to say, I've been a little nervous about releasing these bonus episodes every day. I'm thinking y'all are getting really tired of me, which you probably are. You probably are. Some of you most likely are and have stopped listening, but some of you have stuck through it and are listening. And I just want to say, like, I have been nervous that y'all are going to hate me at the end of it, but I don't think that's the case. And I got a really nice email explaining that it's not, to at least one person. And if I touch this one person, then there you go. That's all that really matters, right? But let me just read you what Aiden wrote, because it's just the whole reason. It's the whole reason for this damn show. I don't know why I said damn. Anyway, okay. This is what Aiden wrote. Listening to some of the reruns of the show the last few days, I felt I wanted to reach out and share what your podcast has meant to me over the years, because they reminded me of where I was at when I first listened to those episodes. I found your show way back in 2018, when I was struggling with internalized homophobia as a baby gay, figuring out how to fulfill the desire to be a parent one day that I've had my whole life. I was convinced it would be wrong to bring kids into this world with two moms, because they hadn't asked for any of that crap that could bring with it. So, prompted by an astute friend who suggested I might be thinking that because I hadn't seen any representation, I went looking and found your podcast. I was only 18, so it was, and kind of still is, a bit weird to suddenly know the details of IUI and reciprocal IVF, but I also just could not stop listening. And thankfully, hearing from so many different queer parents helped me understand that being queer does not and will not stop me from being a parent. So thank you. This podcast existing doesn't only help queer people actively on the journey to parenthood, but it also helped at least one baby gay see that there are so many happy and thriving queer families and parents out there. That's it. That's the quote. I'm going to cry because that touched my heart, and that's the reason. So if this podcast helped you in any way, I'm glad. Now, let me just tell you who's coming in. Angela and freaking Jess, my BFFs, who I've never actually met, but I have only done interviews with. They're so funny. Their story, I'm going to read you their episode description. Listener faves Angela and Jess share about putting $9,000 worth of sperm on their credit card, HELLP syndrome, that's H-E-L-L-P, gallstones, and having a baby 10 weeks early. Whew, they went through some trauma to have their little baby boy. They went through some serious trauma, but somehow, throughout the entire interview, we all managed to laugh our butts off. They're funny. They're fun. We went deep into some tough subjects, but we still managed to laugh, and I love it. And I want to also just point out that in the intro with Robin and I, it's when we first met Helen. It's where Helen came from. And I had completely forgotten about where Helen even came from in the first place. But it's here. It's in this episode, season 5, episode 16. That's when Helen came to be. So listen, I just want to bring them in. They're not here, but I'm bringing them in virtually. Angela and Jess, come on in. Helen, Beulah, my loves, roll that tape. Love is love
is love is love. This episode is brought to you by Storyworth and Ember. We are happy to have them on board, making the show a possibility. We really are.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I mean, living the dream.
The dream.
In seclusion.
We are in social distancing quarantine time during this COVID-19 pandemic. Week 9,065.
Plus 12. Have you noticed that on Zoom calls, there's nothing left to say? So I have this like, this weekly conference calls with some friends, and it's just like no one has any experiences that are happening, so we're all just like, oh, how you holding up? You good? Yeah. I yelled at my kids this week. Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
don't beat yourself up about it.
Yeah,
okay.
The amount of yelling that happens in houses, that's really all we have to talk about. It's true, is how much we're damaging our children right now and our families.
So right before this, I had to go like reboot the router. And as I was doing it, Henry was like, no. Because he's in the middle of some like Minecraft auction. And I was like screaming. I was like, listen to me. I'm working and I'm doing this. And then after Mary comes out and she's like, I was on a call with my boss. And I just heard you. And I was just like, okay, cool. Great.
Oh, my God. So. I feel like every time Anna's on a call with work, I scream at the kids at least once, like a bad scream at least once. I mean, it's crazy how quickly things can turn to mayhem with your children.
It really is.
It's like so calm and cool, and then the next second they're acting like crazy people and you're screaming at them. Like, it's like from zero
are
to-
they Jamie or are we? Like today I was like having a discussion with Mary and I was like, I feel like maybe you're not acknowledging the transition that happened from Sunday to Monday as much as the kids. I was like, do we need to start talking about, you know, things that are coming up? Because she doesn't handle Mondays well. She was like losing her mind over snacks.
Mondays are hard.
They are.
Even during this Groundhog's Day time, Mondays are killing me.
No, we're just coming back from spring break, too. So it's like we had like 9 days without the homeschooling. Mm. And now it's back and it was just, ugh.
I've thrown in the towel.
Yeah.
I really have. Listen,
how important is it that our kids are smart? It's not important, right?
I want them
half
to be
a year of schooling, whatever.
Happy and kind. That's what I'm working on right now. And I'm not being that kind to them. So but so while Robin was over there fixing her internet issue, I went and surfed the book of the Face, the Facebook, as you
stop
do.
That.
And I saw a funny meme. That meme, is it a meme if it's a picture of something?
I don't know.
I don't know
exactly what a meme is. I think it's when it's a picture and then there's words.
That's okay. That's what I saw. I saw that. My friend
God,
Claudia.
God, we sound so old right now, by the way.
My friend Claudia posted it. Shout out to Claudia. I think she listens. And it's a picture of a margarita. It says, I have to share this with you guys because I think it's hilarious. It's called quarantine coffee. It's just like normal coffee, but it has margarita in it and also no coffee. I just think the wording is funny. It has margarita in it.
I love, and also no coffee is my favorite part of that. Oh, good Lord,
so
Jamie. Good Lord. So our news item for today, Jamie, mm-hmm. Pride in New York City was postponed.
Yeah.
First time in over 50 years that a parade won't happen in June.
It was going to be the 50-year anniversary of Pride.
Was it?
Well, if it's been 50 years.
Well, that doesn't mean it was the first one. Maybe it was sporadic. I don't know. Somebody fact check that and get
fact
back to us.
Fact check that. I think it is. I think it's the 50. I think it was going to be like a big one.
You know what we need, Jamie, is we need a person, like, even if it's just a made up character that's not really here, like Helen. And then I go, Helen, fact check that.
We should. Helen.
Okay, Helen's still our person. Helen should get a new job. She's like not. She's not handling it well.
Helen's a mess. Helen's over there chain smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey.
All right, well.
Because that's what my grandma did. That's Helen. And Kelton, and she called everybody lady.
No, wait a minute. No, her name was Helen Kelton.
Yeah, what?
You don't see the
Helen Kelton.
Helen Keller.
Oh, I never. No, ever.
Seriously, her name was Helen Kelton.
Yeah,
seriously.
I mean that was not her first. Like, I don't know what it was at first. Hup or something.
Oh my God! All right, we should get to the show, right? Helen Kelton and Helen, our assistant, wants us to get to the. She's punching me right now, telling me to get to the show.
No, but this whole Pride thing, you know, like that. Probably normally in a normal world wouldn't have upset me, but when I read that, it dealt like my heart sank for a second. It made me sad.
And it's just indicative of everything,
yeah,
right?
What's going on and all the bad news that just keeps coming at us, but we want to keep things light and happy. So
we do. Helen, can you make me a COVID coffee, please? Thank you. Before we introduce our guest today, if you'd like to join our Patreon community, we've got all kinds of bonus content. We're talking videos, swag for joining. It's all there. You just head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk. We're even putting up unedited, ad-free videos of some of our interviews. I have to say some because it's not all, but you have to be at the gestational carrier level.
I mean, we did this really cool thing where we named every level after, like, you know, fertility stuff. It's really great.
Look at us. We're so clever. Well, so we shouldn't take credit. It was actually Helen's idea.
Helen.
Let's talk about our guest today, Jamie.
All right.
Angela and Jess. Okay. So Angela has been emailing us for
years.
I mean, we love her so much. First, she sent us the suggestion about doing a financial episode with Molly, and that was season 3, episode 7. It was called Money and Molly. Mm-hmm. And you want to go back and check that out for some tips. She sent us that. What else she sent us?
She also suggested a bunch of questions about the FMLA leave that we covered in our legal episode with Tony. That was called Your Legal Questions Answered, which is in season 4. It's episode 7. Go back and check that out because, you know, there's some good information in that one for sure.
Yeah.
And Angela really gave us some good questions there.
And during the time she started listening, she had a baby.
Yay!
Like, so it's like, it's another Ovaries Talk baby. We're claiming it. And, you know, and she talked her wife, Jess, into coming in, and they were hilarious.
They're so funny. I can't even. They're better. They should be hosting this show.
Oh my God, they're better than us. Everybody's better than us, though. We know that.
Yeah, but they battled something called HELLP syndrome, H-E-L-L-P, which you're going to hear about, which is scary stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's roll the interview, shall we, Jamie?
They're so funny.
Jamie, do you want to pretend like they're in the other room?
Yeah, we should bring them in. Of course, we should bring them in. I wish they were here with me right now in my social distancing.
Because do you feel like they'd be fun in social distancing?
So fun. I just want to hang out with them. I just want to sit and have them make me laugh. So
I don't think they want to hang out with us. It's fine. Nobody All right, does. Angela and Jess, Helen, bring them in. Helen, bring them in. Hi.
Hello, Angela and Jess.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
We're okay. How are you?
Good.
For our listeners, we've just had the most hellacious tech setup because these guys are in. Are you in Cleveland or Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, down in the valley. Cincinnati.
And we've spent the last half hour getting to know one another while we go, did you check this? Did you check that? So we're together now.
We've reached a place where we think we can go forward. So
we think so.
So we should tell our listeners that you are a listener who wrote in to us about a couple of topics. And we were always like, oh, my God, those are fantastic ideas. And we did those ideas. And then we were like, why aren't you on our podcast?
Yeah.
And I think you got pregnant during our podcast, right? And had a baby during our podcast.
Yes. I believe I wrote to you a couple of times.
Yeah. We're like best friends.
We are, pretty much.
BFFs.
It feels like it might be time for your 30-second elevator pitch.
Yeah, so.
30 seconds.
We were trying to rehearse that last night, and I'm always an overshare, so I'm going to try to cut it down a lot. Okay.
Ready? On your mark, get set, go.
Jess and I met at Columbus Pride about a decade ago, a little bit longer, and we became Facebook friends. Then a few years later, we started talking. What do you know? We love each other. We got married and paid down some student loan debt. And then we were like, okay, maybe we should have a baby. So we started trying to have a baby. Took 3 tries. He's here. He came 10 weeks early. He's amazing. And we forget what sleep feels like. Oh, we got 2 more seconds. And we love each other.
Excellent. Ooh. First mention of student loans in an elevator pitch.
I'm pretty sure I wrote to you guys about that, trying to figure out how to plan your life when you have student loans to pay, you want a child, and you want to buy a house, which we actually are in the process of doing. So, yes.
That's how you gave us Molly. Molly from our financial advisor person who spoke to us. So anyone who was talking about the finances, go back to, I think it was season 3 for Molly.
It's so funny. And speaking of this topic, like our first chapter of our book deals with how do you decide how to do this? And it would fit so well in the first chapter of our book.
Yeah. You just wanted to talk about our book.
I didn't want to talk about our book. It's like fresh in my mind, you know.
Okay. You said a lot of things in there. Let's
delve in.
Yeah. Your baby was born 10 weeks early. Or do we start and you want to start with how you made the baby? Let's start there.
Like all normal lesbian couples would like to do. We did the IUI and it took 3 tries for us to get pregnant.
Well, it wasn't.
And who carried?
Jess carried.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I carried because I felt a yearning to become a mother. But we also have three nephews from her brother, who's a part of a Christian cult community here in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole other podcast, let me tell you.
Girl.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's a podcast I want to hear.
I'm bonus content.
Yeah, bonus, on Patreon. Bonus content. Yeah. So, you know, as our third nephew was born, something just clicked. Like, we had already visited the doctor and I was like, okay, I'm ready. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we started looking at donors on all the sites, and it's just like they say, once you find it, it's like this magical thing. Like, we even connected with a donor number, and it was like a very personal decision, you know?
Yeah.
So,
wait, did you just like say numerology? You connected with a donor number?
Yes.
That's a first.
For whatever reason, it looked right.
Yes.
And it had some numbers in it that kind of relate to our own lives together. And then we got to see an adult picture of the donor, which, I mean, all babies are cute in their own way. We wanted to see what this kid could possibly look like when he grew up.
Right.
So the look of the donor was someone who we would be friends with, or that he seemed very kind in his picture.
He comes from a mixed background. That was very important to us, too. Like, you know, his background, I think, is Jewish. He's Russian. He's
Irish and
a little bit of everything, you know. And one of the reasons he wanted to donate was because he was from such a diverse background that he wanted to give that opportunity to other families. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a serious decision. And it just happened one Sunday. And then you decide to put $9,000 of sperm on your credit card. And
get those points.
Everything else is in the past.
Airline miles.
Yeah.
You know, we took some nice vacations home to my parents with those miles we racked up for sperm. Totally.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You can see adult pictures now. When we were doing this, there were no adult pictures, but that's a thing now. Now there are actually adult pictures. Do you have to pay extra for those?
No, we didn't. But he donated back in 2012. So that was a while ago, and they still had that photo available.
It was the only option. They didn't have his baby pictures.
Mostly people want the baby photo. They don't want the adult photo. So it was rare to have that too.
I want the adult picture.
Me too.
Sometimes a cute baby, you know, doesn't end up, you know, handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was even more difficult too for us because you guys have both went through genetic testing. Mm-hmm. They have, what is it called? It's the blood thing.
CMV, negative or positive.
So I'm negative, which the nurse has told me is very rare.
Oh.
So
that limited our
donor selection by tenfold.
At least 50%.
So I had to have a negative donor.
So you went and got tested before you bought the sperm, and you found that out before you got the sperm.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't have even thought to do that.
I mean, I remember I thought to do it, but my place was just like, don't worry about that. And I was like, really?
That can cause huge issues if you're negative and your donor is positive.
Yeah. During the birth, right? Is something with the canal and
wait a second. Mine was. We were opposite. I think I was positive or negative and he was the other one.
That's okay.
That's all right.
Oh. Yeah. It's just because you're negative, it makes it harder.
Yeah, there's a certain way that, yeah.
It was like if she was going to become positive while she was becoming pregnant, that could be the issue. If she became positive beforehand, then it's fine. She's already CMV positive. Someone who's negative being used as a donor, not going to be an issue.
Interesting.
Yeah, but we went to a reproductive endocrinologist, so she knew to do all of these tests before we knew what to do.
And she had gotten all of our group of lesbian ladies pregnant, so she knew she was the lady to get us knocked up.
Yeah. Basically, we're like, Molly, what did you guys do? Can we do it?
Right. Yeah.
Who's your doctor?
Yeah, totally.
Did you do the baby or the house first? And they were like, do the baby first. So we did the baby first. Yeah.
I love that you went to her for both financial advice and like baby.
She basically, she's a lesbian life coach, I think.
Everybody needs one of those.
Yes. We love Molly. Yeah. But you got pregnant pretty easily then. Third time?
Yeah, I was very fortunate that after I had the HSG test, which is the lovely, you know, blow the balloon up your vagina and and make sure there's no blockage.
I don't think I ever did that.
Is that the water one where they run the water through your vagina? Through your
dye.
Yeah, the blue dye. I did
that. Testing to make sure that all of your fallopian tubes are clear. And
did I go to the worst doctors in the world? Like, nobody did any of this for me.
You must have been really fertile or something. I got it done because I wasn't getting pregnant. So they sent me.
Maybe that's why. Because I did get checked out at the top of the process and they were like, everything's great. So maybe that's why.
I had to get it done. I got it done multiple times, actually. But it did, and they said it was going to be painful. It wasn't painful for me.
Oh, I took a Valium, honey.
Really?
Atta girl. Atta girl.
For everything. I took a Valium for all
no,
my
IUIs. No shame in that game.
Because it was no shame so in that game. Painful.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And of course, Jess has like a tilted cervix.
I have a tilted cervix thanks to my mother.
Of course.
And the doctor was so funny after she got done with the HSG because all my IUIs were so painful. She comes over, she's like, good job. You did so well. Like I got a gold star.
Gold star for the gold star. Yeah. That's amazing. Then it's supposed to raise your chances of getting pregnant by like 20 or 30% for the next couple of cycles. And we actually had a huge mix up with our doctor because, of course, everything fell over Thanksgiving holiday and then Christmas holidays. So there was a huge mix up and we weren't able to try around the Thanksgiving holiday, but we tried again in December. Christmas Eve, she got inseminated.
Yes.
So he's our Christmas Eve baby.
And the sperm place is only closed one day out of the year and it happens to be Christmas. So if I was ovulating at the wrong time, we would have had to wait a whole other month in January.
Oh God.
And you just experienced our tech issues. I mean, if things are going to go wrong for us, they're going to go wrong. So it was a freaking miracle that she was ready to ovulate on Christmas Eve.
So I'm obsessing over the birth at 30 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, there's no planning. There was no option for us to even, you think about, okay, what's my plan A going to be? It's going to be a vaginal birth. What's my plan B going to be? It's going to be a C-section if it's an emergency, whatever. But nothing prepares you for having your kid so early when you're only 30 weeks along. I was having complications at 29 weeks with a lot of rib pain that was kind of radiating all the way from the front to the back. And I was taking Tylenol, you know, approved medication from my doctor and some baths and stuff like that. I went in July 4th, the holiday, of course, into my regular doctor's office. They ran all the tests and everything came back. No protein in my urine, no nothing. I just was miserable. Third trimester pregnant lady.
Heartbeats were fine.
Heartbeats everything. Fine, everything. Yeah. And then we were on our baby moon. We went up and had a little getaway, which was not much of a getaway.
It was about 45 minutes away because I was like, let's be close to our hospital just in case something happens.
So this is the dead of summer. It's fucking hot outside. I mean, every pregnant lady's worst nightmare being outside in the heat. You know, you're already swollen. You got cankles going on, all that fun stuff. Yeah. So I am miserable in the hotel. They have a pool, which helped definitely.
And a nice jacuzzi
hot. I could not shake this rib pain. And I'm like, what is happening? And I just had this like motherly gut instinct. I said, babe, let's go buy a blood pressure cuff just to be sure.
Yeah.
So we buy one at the store.
Wait, hold on. What made you say blood pressure cuff?
With rib pain.
I think we had been kind of forewarned from some other people about preeclampsia.
Yeah.
And so Jess was kind of hyper aware. She had this feeling that she was going to get preeclampsia. And because of our BMI, like everyone's always like, you're going to get preeclampsia. You're going to deliver early because you're bigger.
Which doesn't mean anything, by the way.
There might be a slightly increased chance, but just because you're big doesn't mean you can't have a healthy
pregnancy. Feeling, you know, it's another measure, another check to make sure that you're okay.
Okay.
You know, your levels are okay. Mm-hmm. So we buy it. I test myself. I'm like 150s over hundreds. Oh. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's got to be the blood pressure machine. So I put it on Ange and Ange tests fine.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'll test myself again. So I still was high again. And then the next day, she's like, you know, you're not getting any better. I'm going to bring you back home just so we can be close to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we ended up calling our doctor and she's like, you know, we just tested you. I'm sure you're fine, but go ahead and come to the hospital. We'll triage you. It's going to be expensive. And
we're like, we know, we already planned this.
I mean, he left the house and I looked at her and I was like, babe, what if this is it? Like, this could be it. I mean, we had our hospital bag half packed.
Yeah. I was like, I'll bring my work computer.
We didn't even bring it. We show up at the hospital and this beautiful blonde, which I'm not even attracted to blondes, but anyway, beautiful blonde woman is triaging me. She looks like she's like, you know, 32 or something. And, you know, we're talking, she's taking my blood pressure, doing all the vitals, all that stuff. Not even thinking I would have the baby that week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, how many kids do you have? Oh, well, I have six.
What?
You have six kids? No way.
She started when she
did
was
you
a baby.
Have them all yourself? And I'm laying here like, I can fucking take one right now. I can't handle this. Yeah. So our OBGYN was in the hospital. She was in surgery and she comes out.
They've done a blood draw.
They've done the blood draw. They've done all the stuff in there. And she goes, oh, well, you're going to have your baby this week. And I'm like, excuse me?
Yes.
I developed HELLP syndrome, which is very rare. There's only about 20,000 cases that happen a year and less than 4% pregnancies that are even reported. And basically, it's elevated liver enzymes. There's a bunch of different other stuff. But basically, it's the most severe form of preeclampsia that you can get.
Yeah. She was basically at risk for her brain seizuring, for her liver and her kidneys to
basically
lose
liver
function.
All organ failure.
Yeah.
Had no clue. I mean, I was walking just fine and everything like that.
She was swollen, but we thought that was just pregnancy.
That's part of it. You get swollen, as you guys know.
Because your liver's not functioning too, right? Properly.
Just don't know what is normal, what's not normal. Right. So, yeah.
And she wasn't having any contractions or anything. It was just like her body was saying, I'm done being pregnant. It could not handle it anymore. So they immediately hooked her up to a magnesium drip.
Have any of you experienced this?
No.
Oh, I bet some of your listeners have, and they will definitely comment. They call it the MAG in the hospital.
Okay.
And it's AKA liquid fire. And they really do mean liquid fire.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it is a protection for you and the baby,
but it
feels like you are just burning from the inside out.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
So the lady that they brought to start my line, unfortunately, was so swollen. She could not get it. She pricked me four times.
I can't even with that. I can't with that.
Finally got it in.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, you're 30 weeks, so you can't have your baby here because there's certain tiers of NICUs, which are the neonatal care units for babies born under a certain age. And the hospital I was at don't deliver under 32 weeks. And that was 30 weeks. I was actually 29.
What do you mean? Where am I going?
I had to have a lovely hospital five blocks away, which cost $4,000.
Right. Thank God for insurance.
Yeah.
So we transferred over there.
At this point, I'm still pregnant.
Yes.
You know, I'm on the magnesium drip, and amazingly enough, it's helping the rib pain. It goes away.
So can I interrupt you? What did they explain what the rib pain was about?
That's part of HELLP syndrome.
They weren't sure if it was related to her liver enzymes. Like, they thought that her liver, the capsule around her liver, was getting inflamed. And that could have caused the rib pain.
Interesting.
They also had some idea that maybe Jonah had his feet up under her ribs or something. They weren't sure. All we knew is that the magnesium made it feel better.
But the only cure for preeclampsia or HELLP syndrome is delivery. Ugh. There's no cure. There's no magic pill, no mag that you could be on. And you can't even be on magnesium that long because it will kill you. So I was on it for four days, lovely days.
Yeah.
And I looked like a cow on top of a cow. Like if a cow ate a cow, that's how I looked.
And I imagine you're sleeping really well because you're on fire.
Yeah.
So you're getting all the rest you needed right up to delivery.
But a coworker had told me about her experience with magnesium about 2 weeks before I delivered Jonah. So I kind of had an idea from her based on her experience. And she was like, oh, yeah, I had to have ice packs all over my body because I was just burning. And so we finally figured out after how many hours in the labor and delivery at this other hospital that if Ange put like wet washcloths, ice washcloths on my body for 10 minutes and just rotated them, I actually felt somewhat comfortable. Oh, but if a fan hit me, I started shaking.
Oh my God.
It was like uncontrollably. It was too much.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this sounds really good. But anyway,
she was on the mag for 48 hours and they kept taking her blood
to test. Two steroid shots.
Yeah, she got two steroid shots in the butt to help Jonah's lungs develop.
Because you know, magnesium isn't enough. They got to.
So she was on the mag for 48 hours and then they took her off because her levels were stabilizing and they said, okay, so we think that you're responding really well. We'll put you on bed rest and you'll be on bed rest for maybe the next week or two.
At home?
No, antepartum. Mm-hmm. You know, antepartum is the ticking time bombs, as you could say, the women that are still pregnant and we're just waiting for them to blow up, you know? Yeah. So it's like, you know, 7 a.m. in the morning and all these doctors are just like, they do their rounds. So you never get any sleep. And the doctors come in and they're like, we are just shocked that you are still pregnant. Like, you know, we thought that you would not be pregnant anymore.
Yeah. One of the first doctors to come in was like, you're going to have your baby on Tuesday or Wednesday. Wednesday was my birthday. So I was like, oh my God, things are happening.
So it had been 24 hours off of the magnesium. I had the rib pain come back and it came back tenfold. Mm-hmm. And basically, very quickly, Jonah was delivered emergency C-section.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be in the room because they had given her a shot of blood thinners because they thought she was going to be on bed rest. So, and this all happened at shift change.
So I had to go under anesthesia.
Yeah, general
like
anesthesia.
Like I was completely under. Mm-hmm. So and I was definitely freaking out.
Yeah, she was wheeled away and some nurse led me into a hallway and was like, you're going to be okay? And I thought she was going to stay with me. I was like, yeah, I just need to make a few phone calls, right? Got to call my parents, got to call my best friends. One of my aunts was going to be our doula. And then the nurse was gone because shift change had happened and she was now off shift. So I'm standing alone waiting for somebody to come out and tell me that Jess is alive and okay, that Jonah is alive and okay. They finally wheel Jonah out in his little isolette and I see him and, you know, that's a shocker because he came out at 2 pounds, 3.9 ounces. He was very small.
Oh my God.
He had this CPAP machine on and they were about to wheel him down to the NICU. I didn't know that I could go with him to the NICU. Nobody told me that. And I didn't know where to go to wait for information on Jess because they were still finishing up the C-section on her. Eventually, I got some news from the doctors that everything went great. Jess was fine. And then I was able to go and see Jonah in the NICU. Then Jess had to go back on magnesium for 24 hours.
You know, 2 days ain't enough.
Because once you develop HELLP syndrome, you also can still become preeclamptic or at that point, eclamptic for up to 6 weeks after you deliver.
Wow. I don't want to scare anybody, but no one around me has ever had a preemie baby. So we had no idea what to expect. This baby has just been taken from you. I mean, you go through a huge surgery.
I think I saw like 70% of women who give birth prematurely, they end up with PPD or PPA.
But we got very fortunate that Jonah is Italian and in a very good mix of strong genes.
We're feisty.
Because when he came out screaming and very vocal.
Yes, and he never had to be intubated.
Nope.
Wow.
So his whole 47-day stretch in the NICU, he was considered a feeder grower.
Yes.
So he just had to gain. He just had to gain weight and get bigger. So we were able to take him home, and he weighed 4 pounds, 12 ounces. I think it was 4 pounds, 13 ounces, something like that. And he was so tiny, but he was just adorable. And of course, we're completely in love.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm super excited about for this Mother's Day this year?
No, I don't. But I have a feeling you're going to tell me, though.
I sure am. So here's what happened. Last year, I got my mom a subscription to Storyworth, which is this online service that sends these weekly thought-provoking questions to her so that she can write down her memories and her stories and her personal thoughts.
And here's the fun thing. At the end of the year, Storyworth takes all those questions, all those answered questions and any photos that she included and mm-hmm. bounds them in a keepsake book. And then they ship it to you for free. So I'm going to get a book. I'm getting a book soon.
Is it bounds or is it binds?
It's probably binds.
But I like bounds. I think that's fun. And that also, by the way, back to Storyworth, that is really cool. I mean, it's like such a great way to engage with your mom, especially now that, you know, we all have to stay away from each other, you know, with all the social distancing crud.
Yeah, no, I know. And one of the questions they asked was, what's your favorite mm-hmm. joke? And like trying to write out this long, drawn out joke that also includes this Italian accent is super hilarious. I mean, this joke is it's a family classic. We've heard it many, many times. But having it written down is kind of priceless because it's funny. And I'm just really excited to have all these pieces of my mom written down in a book mm-hmm. that I can keep forever and I can share it with my kids. It's really special.
That is so special. It's just such a great idea for Mother's Day gift for all of our listeners. And just like you said, like the idea of keeping these things, these stories alive. I love it. So, I mean, if you guys still have a mother, I mean, I don't. Too soon? Too soon.
Oh, God. Listen,
the person who would get that joke the most is my mother. But for those of you who do, you should get this for Mother's Day. I'm telling you. Give your mom the most meaningful gift this year with Storyworth. Get started right away without the need for shipping by going to storyworth.com/OCT. And you're going to get $10 off your first purchase.
That's amazing. That's storyworth.com/OCT for $10 off. And in a year, you're going to get a book.
Go do it. Seriously. Make some memories.
Make those memories.
Lucky for me, I got readmitted with rib pain.
Oh, jeez.
And yeah.
We were very hyper aware of everything that Jess was experiencing, and we thought she was having symptoms of eclampsia again. Turns out it was just gallstones. So she had to get her gallbladder taken out. But apparently that's also really common when you're pregnant because of when you give birth, you lose weight really quickly and your body's changing so much that sometimes it can just.
But you guys are like, you guys are dealing with a preemie being like in the hospital for so many days and then another sickness while you're still recovering. I mean, what was that even like for both, like for you, Jess, but also for you, Angela? You had to feel helpless. I can't even imagine.
You know, I don't know how to even answer that, Robin, because I look back and think, how did I make it through? Because there's so many things. Like, we were scheduled that Monday to take Lamaze classes. He was born Wednesday. Like, I didn't even get that experience.
Lamaze classes.
All of the baby showers, which were scheduled, were all canceled.
There were four.
And, you know, I didn't get to experience being pregnant for 40 weeks. You know, I mean, obviously that's the miserable part of it, but still I absolutely loved my bump. I loved somewhat being pregnant. It's a double-edged sword, you know.
I had a lot of private cry sessions.
Yeah.
I experienced a lot of worry just because the NICU really sends you home saying, keep your baby in isolation as long as possible because when they're born so early, they don't have as much time to get those antibodies from the mother that they would when they're in the womb. So we were basically saying to everyone, don't come and visit unless you've gotten a shot.
So nobody can come and help. No one could come help.
Oh my God.
How did it become an alcoholic through all this is amazing. Probably because I was breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have had a lot of trauma. That's a lot of trauma.
Yes,
we have.
We came out, which is great. On a good in a good place.
Yeah, Jess is doing well. Jonah's doing well. We're in a one bedroom apartment, but we have a contract on a house, so hopefully we'll be moving into a house next month. Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited.
Congrats. Yes.
Jonah his own bedroom. Currently, he sleeps in the living room.
Yeah, he sleeps in
the That's what we had a one bedroom when my first daughter was born. And so we had a crib set up in the living room, and then we had a pack and play in the bedroom. Yep. So we would put her to bed in the bedroom, and then we would transfer her when we went to bed. But it was like we always had to go to bed at the exact same time because she would wake up. And it was just like when we finally got into a two bedroom, we were like, I can stay up and you can go to bed. It was like, cause you were just like, I guess we're going to bed now. And the two of us had to like, you know, wander off. It was like a pain in the badoobies.
Yes.
Definitely a pain in the badoobies. Definitely.
One thing you guys mentioned, like struggling a little bit with postpartum and that as a non-bio mom, you went through it too. Can you guys talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, Jess's experience was certainly more traumatic than mine, but I definitely had to sit down and like give voice to my own feelings of postpartum anxiety because I became the sole provider. And I went through this experience where I almost lost my wife and I almost lost my child. And now I couldn't spend the time that I wanted to with my family because I needed to work and make sure that they were okay. And it was just, it was a lot. It was very overwhelming to fill this role that I was not prepared for growing up because I thought I was going to be a stay-at-home parent. I thought that I was going to give birth to like 6 children. Well, that flew out the window. It was a lot. And I needed to talk to somebody about it because I didn't want to take it out on Jess because she was experiencing so much more pain and struggle than I was because she had gone through this traumatic birth. She was staying at home with Jonah. She was giving up a career to do this. And I didn't want to burden her with all of my feelings. And when I think it got to a point where I was starting to be mean to her and take out my frustrations on her. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to call my EAP line through work, the employee assistance program, and get set up with a counselor. So I've been going to see one for a while now, which has helped.
And I don't think we talk about it enough as women and support each other enough for postpartum depression. Like same kind of situation for me. I mean, I was dealing with so much. I was angry too.
Yeah.
I was pissed off.
She was robbed.
I was robbed of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it was no one's fault particular. It was my body. You know, I mean, imagine that. Your body gave out. Like
yeah.
It just didn't want to be pregnant. And so I felt like I let my son down. Aww. I felt like he's in there because of me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I recognized that I needed medication. And while I'm not a big pill taker, you know, it did help. And it's the lowest dosage that you could take. Mm-hmm. But highly recommend that, you know, you check in with your friends that are pregnant and, you know, postpartum. We don't talk about it enough.
Right.
I mean, I had what? 24 prenatal visits and one postpartum visit, and they ask you one survey about how you feel. That's not enough for women.
Yeah,
that's
a really valid point.
It's very true. I'm pretty sure I had some postpartum, and I just didn't think that it. I didn't think I had it because nobody really delved in enough for me. And I think that I probably could have used some help in that first at least 6 months after he was born.
Yeah, there's just a darkness I think that can come in, and you just feel like you're supposed to feel all this joy and maybe you don't feel it and you're tired.
Or
and
you're feeling tons of anxiety and it just won't go away. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you're fighting with your person and, you know, it's like all that.
Yeah. And I just didn't know, you know, I didn't realize that what I was experiencing could be actually symptoms of postpartum. And I needed somebody to say to me, I think you might be suffering from something because I'm not going to say it myself.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important.
Yeah. And there's such a stigma about, you know, around taking medication and, you know, it's a chemical in our brains. It's not related to who you are as a person or how strong you are or anything like that. It is a chemical in your brain that needs a little bit of help to, you know, lower your amount of anxiety and depression. It just, there's nothing to be ashamed of if you have to take medication at all.
Yeah.
And it's safe. I mean, she could exclusively pump the whole time and still take Zoloft. It was safe for Jonah.
That's great. But also just from like what we're witnessing, it looks like you guys have a very strong relationship. You could just see it in the way that you guys are talking to each other. So
we're Italian. We fight hard and we love hard.
Hold on, Jamie. My sister's texting me. Okay. She wants to tell everyone about Ember Wave's new hot flash mode. It sounds like it's helping her with menopausal side effects.
Okay, that's cool.
No, it actually is. Anything to keep me from hearing about how hard menopause is for her? I'm serious. And for those of you who don't know, because it's not just for people with menopause, the Ember Wave is the first bracelet that helps you feel colder or warmer at the press of a button, which I need all the time. And it works with your body and mind, and it makes you feel more comfortable in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, no, it really is cool. It's based on the science of how your mind and body respond to temperature sensations. And I'm actually glad for you that they added a menopause mode.
For me, I love it so much that I actually bought a new one after my sister stole mine from me.
Yeah.
And I use it to help me fall asleep, not for menopause, Jamie. I press the button and it helps me maintain a comfy temperature as I blissfully drift off to sleep.
Yeah, you might have to start using that hot flash mode soon.
You better seriously slow it down, or I'm going to punch you right upside the head.
Actually, you know, I love my Ember Wave because it's unseasonably cold right now for April. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this house I'm staying in is freezing. It's always cold in here. And the Ember Wave is really helping me stay comfortable.
Well, listen, for all you folks at home who want an Ember Wave, and it should be all of you, I think, now through Mother's Day, you can receive $50 off your order as part of Ember's site-wide Mother's Day sale. All you have to do is head to emberwave.com/OCT, and that's emberwave.com/OCT.
Yes, that's emberwave.com/OCT, and you're going to receive $50 off your order this Mother's Day.
$50 off! Well, I'm assuming you guys are taking a breath before you have a second.
I've told Jess she's not allowed to get pregnant again because HELLP syndrome survivors also have a higher likelihood of developing HELLP syndrome again.
They don't know, though. They don't have the research.
Good, Jess. Uh-oh. I could still do it.
All we know right now is we're going to wait until Jonah can wipe his own butt, and then we'll try again.
My daughter's 6, and I'm still wiping her butt. I don't know. I mean, she can.
She's capable of doing it.
She can do it. I just don't trust her.
She chooses
her to do
not
it.
To.
I choose for her not to, because I'd rather make sure it's clean.
My daughter's almost 11. I think it's just starting to get clean now.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, it's so great. Gross.
Jonah's already going to have two crazy moms. He needs to share that burden with somebody else.
Jess, in the beginning, were you planning on carrying 2 kids, or were you just doing 1 and then seeing what was going to happen?
Yeah, that's part of the mourning process because I wasn't prepared to only have 1. Mm-hmm. I definitely thought that there was a possibility that I could have 2. She was okay with that. So I thought, oh, I could have another kid. And obviously with everything that happened, yeah. I have 1 and I'm very lucky.
Yeah,
yes. You are.
And we're very fortunate to be alive.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Well, I can't wait till you have another baby on our show and then we bring you back.
On our show.
Well, maybe not have it on the show, but yeah. Although that'd be a first.
I did want to say, as someone who works in a hospital, for 2 women who are having a baby, you can both be put down as moms, usually on the birth certificate. So we are both on Jonah's birth certificate. And in the hospital electronic medical records, you can also both be listed as mother. And I would highly recommend that you push to do that because it is going to save you a lot of frustration when you are bringing your child back for more visits because they want the parents listed in the EMR to be the ones to make decisions. So if you are both not in there as his parents or as your child's parents, you are going to have to get more documentation to show that you're both the parents in order to make decisions. So as listeners, if you are having a child, make sure that you fight for you and the non-bio parents to be down in all the documentation.
So everybody at home listening, you know, if those forms are not up to date, you talk to somebody there. You make sure they do. Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah. This was so wonderful. It took us a minute to get you in here, but it was so worth it.
This is great. Oh, we love you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like we're going to need updates. So
yes,
keep us posted.
Please. Definitely. And I can't wait to see pictures.
I feel like every holiday I'm going to be like, God, I hope they're all right. Like every holiday.
Well, we only wish you all the best health and happiness and good luck in the new house. And it's super exciting. I'm so glad everything turned out okay for you guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Whew. Love those ladies. Just love them.
I love them. And listen, that HELLP syndrome is no joke.
That's, right? But also, you know, it's no joke, Jess. Like, Angela made it seem like she's like a tiny little flower who's never going to want to be on air. And then she comes in like Shecky Green and like was hilarious.
So funny. So great. They need their own podcast, those 2.
I know. Well, let's not have competition for ourselves here, Jamie, okay?
They'd beat us. They would beat us for all awards.
That's fine.
Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. Just come on our show and guest.
Well, folks, this is a nice place for a transition. So we want to remind everybody that we've got a book coming out in September called If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family, September 22nd. You want to be on the lookout for that.
It's coming out. There's going to be some other stuff coming up surrounding that book, too. So just follow us on the social so you can learn all about that
Helen,
stuff.
What?
Oh, Helen says that there will be pre-order information for the book at some point.
At some point. We just don't know when. So we'll keep you posted. Yeah.
Thanks, Helen.
Okay.
Thanks, Helen. She's always there. She always knows.
So good, Helen.
But guys, let's keep this conversation going. Join us on the social. You can find us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Ovaries_Talk on Insta, If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook. And you can also join our community there and you can talk to other listeners, which is always just a joy. You can also join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk for the bonus content we talked about earlier. And you can subscribe to us now on YouTube.
We are everywhere.
I'm all over TikTok too. And soon Robin will be.
Sure. Jamie's on TikTok. That's right.
You guys follow me on TikTok.
Follow Jamie on TikTok.
I think it's funny. But also, you know, follow us on YouTube to catch up on our Ovaries Talk live streams.
Yeah. If you miss it during the day, you can catch it on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And thank you to our sponsor, Storyworth and Ember Wave. I mean, seriously, we're so thankful that you help us make the show a possibility. And that is a serious thank you.
Thank you very much. And, you know, to all the folks out there, stay safe, stay healthy.
Stay sane.
Stay happy. Laugh.
Try to laugh. Have some COVID coffee. Yeah.
Quarantine coffee. COVID-19.
I keep screwing up the joke. It's fine. And then, folks, get help if you need it. You know, these are crazy days. I mean, Jamie needs help, and I keep telling her to get help. She's not getting it yet, but she's going to soon.
Get that help. And tell Helen to put the cigarette down.
Helen!
It's like she's over there wrinkling papers like it's like,
it's
crazy. What the fuck are you doing, Helen? Like, it's like, this is not an internship. I'm paying you $5 an hour, Helen.
$5 an hour, don't put that out there. We pay Helen her
minimum wage. It's fine. I just said minimum rage. Listen, Helen's lucky she's got a job. I'll tell you what, Helen.
God, we have to end this because
people are like, who's Helen? She is our producer.
Is Robin hoarding a woman in her?
She lives in my daughter's closet since I'm recording in my daughter's bedroom right now. All right. I mean, for the love of God, eggs.
Ovaries.
Be quiet, Helen.
Out.
Stop.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.